the Goethe Faust element, and both composers find redemption from Faust in big choral music. I mean, Havergal Brian goes for broke with the longest setting of the Te Deum in the history of music.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be, 1,200 performers here. They have to extend the Royal Albert Hall stage. The stalls at the side have got an orchestra each, and there are four offstage bands. So that's all to come tomorrow. Other excitement, of course, Jozsibela Klávek, doing a lot of Czech music with the BBC Symphony Orchestra this year, which is, I mean, if Rossini is in Pappano's soul, Czech music is in his soul, isn't
it? Absolutely, and he's Mavlast on Friday. Yeah. The Czechs have a way with that piece. They understand that it's not all wonderfully exemplarily scored, and again, it's the lighter touch, plenty of air in the texture, and they make it so personal. It is so personal and so special for them, that piece. So, and also playing the Dvorak, Jean-Guillaume Keras, who I think is an exciting young cellist, so that should be interesting. But I suppose
he's coming into play for us on Monday.
So oh, is he?
Yes, you get a little preview of just himself and his cello.
Okay, well, I think probably for me the highlight of the week will be Mark Elder's concert with the Halle. Mm. It's the one I'm looking forward to most. I think he's done extraordinary work with this orchestra over the last couple of years, and it's a typical Elder programme. You know, Sibelius first half with a lighter and less known piece of Sibelius coupled with the searching Seventh Symphony. And then András Schiff, that patrician among pianists, playing the Bartók Third Concerto. Nostalgic, wistful piece written in exile. And another big work for the hall, Janáček Sinfonietta. Mm. 12 trumpets and
fantastic.
A lot else besides.
So joyful,
fantastic,
isn't it?
Yeah, yes.
Marvellous. Well, so much, and I hope you'll keep taking the vitamin pills right to the end of the season. There's so much to celebrate. It is extraordinary to see this hall filled. It is marvellous. Tomorrow, of course, the Havergal Brian Gothic Symphony. Just look at the forces involved in that. I suppose you wouldn't get this anywhere else, would you?
No, and I was just thinking we've got a couple of star cellists this week. You wouldn't get that anywhere else either. The Capucin brothers, Gautier and his brother, what is his name? His
Renaud,
Christian name? Renaud. Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
sibling symbiosis.
They're wonderful. Ed, thank you very much indeed. Just a few things to keep your eye and your ear across. Ed Zekerson, thank you very much indeed. Well, as far as the Gothic extravaganza is concerned tomorrow night, it is absolutely vast, as we said. We caught up with some of the people involved, members of the Brighton Festival Chorus and the person charged with the organisation of it all for the BBC Proms, Sarah Pantcheff.
It's just been mad. There's so many people and it's chaos. Organised chaos, I hope, but chaos nonetheless.
Have you any idea how many people there are?
We've got around about 600 in the adult choruses, about 160 in the children's choruses, and something in the region of 250 in the orchestra.
Have you ever dealt with anything like this before?
No. And I hope maybe not again for a while.
There's not going to be much room, certainly even in rehearsal, for anybody else on stage once they're all squeezed on. Have those heavenly twins of health and safety been beaming down at you at all?
Oh, yes. I've been risk assessing, like, my life depends on it. We've had extra staging built to fit everyone on the stage. We've had to take out seats in the stalls to get the offstage bands in. It's one of those wonderful things that the Proms is so good at. You know, there's not that many other arenas that you could do something like this. And I love the sense of let's go for it, let's do this piece that is hard work for everybody.
I'm James Morgan, I'm the music director of Brighton Festival Chorus, and I've been with the choir now for 10 years. It's a massive challenge to put something like this together. It's the sheer size of it. I mean, it's never done for that very reason. And I guess the Proms is one of the few organisations in the world that could put this piece on. It'll be a great day. I mean, I've been involved in Proms in the past, but nothing quite like this. It's really very, very tricky indeed. The absence of any key signatures particularly. It's nearly got a tune in every bar, but it then wanders off in a different direction every time. Just as the chorus think they've got a hold on the tonality, it shifts again.
My name's Wayne Jones. I've been in the choir for 36 years. I joined when I was 18. I came to the University of Sussex. And I've been in the choir ever since. It's tricky work to learn in isolation because of the number of choruses involved. The score we've got has only just got half the chorus writings in it. And we're obviously one of a large number of choruses. And until we get the whole piece played as an ensemble, it'll be very difficult to piece the thing together.
I think that's going to be the biggest challenge, actually, to come together for the first time. I think that could be quite intimidating for all the choirs, in fact, to suddenly discover there's an enormous amount of other music going on around them and to try not to be put off. It's almost the opposite of what I'm constantly telling the choirs to do, which is to listen. And quite a lot of the time I'm going to be telling them not to listen. It's fantastic for the chorus to be coming to the proms again. It's the first time we've been for a while, so it's lovely to be back.
You can hear the Brighton Festival chorus. Actually, there are 10 choirs in all. There are 4 offstage bands and 2 orchestras, all assembled by Sarah Panchev for the BBC Brahms for Havergal Brian's Gothic Symphony. It's tomorrow night here live from the Royal Albert Hall starting at 7 o'clock. Well, that's where we are. It's just a little stream of people coming in for the ending of the stupendous account of Rossini's opera William Tell from the Accademia di Santa Cecilia in Rome. But there's something new this year in the proms. Once a week after the main prom concert, the newly refurbished Elgar Room, complete with bar, promers will have the chance to sample the work of up-and-coming jazz musicians from the UK's conservatories and also the work of the brightest young poets. Well, last night, the Elgar Rooms were pretty packed, and to entertain them for an hour of late-night poetry and jazz, there were the Will Gibson Band and Laura Dockrell.
Is anyone here a dad? What? You know, only 3 dads. No, there's more dads. Some of you just itching your necks, which means you're dads. Oh, granddads. Sorry, you've been promoted. Fantastic. Okay, well, this poem's Sunday. It's from the dad's perspective. Sunday is my day, there's no day like Sunday. From Monday to Saturday are just blue days without you. And my heart cracks to see your back. I'm no dad until you're back. It's Sunday and that's my day with you. Last night I left my mates in the pub, what? But tomorrow Sunday they call after me. Well, exactly, I say, and stop off to buy full fat milk. I clean the house, I pump the cushions, I shave, I get an early night. I wonder if the nerves will ever wear off. I wonder if I'll ever not love the feeling of having you at my place, will it wear off? It is Sunday, my day, with you all to myself day. I pick you up from her at Victoria, as always, by the Marks and Spencers. Pick you up to get a better look. You are big. And I'm so drunk and clumsy on love that I kiss you everywhere and you wipe your cheek, but I don't mind still carrying me through to the platform as we dodge and duck through cross society. I don't care who I upset to make sure my kid gets a seat, you know, you're my boy. Your plastic action man rucksacks, it's on my forearm. The stickiness with the sweat draws the hairs out of my arm, a sticky, sooky slip has developed. I think about what I would do if I had money. I think about chucking us on an aeroplane, the two of us kicking back, yakking about all the football play when we get to the beach and how it all screwed up. You're only 6. How's school? I ask. What a stupid question. I smash my head to distract you from the bad taste that instigate a play fight with you. We tussle like a cub and his bear, my fists plunging down like spongy water bombs as they explode, and I realise I did this just as an excuse to be near to you. Dad, what's this? You have one of those free papers open to impress me. It's a picture of drought, of dying land. I want to say that's how I feel. That is my heart and my lungs when you are not with me. You are my rain. But instead I say, this is what happens when the earth gets thirsty.
And I don't recognise the shoes you're wearing. I want to ask you about them, but I'm afraid I won't like the answer. I want to compliment your shoes. I want to say nice things about his shoes, but my lips won't fold into the right places. And my son chose the lines of the words in the paper. I love this paper, he adds. He's a good actor. I think about performing for you the werewolf impression you told me to master. In your words, you said, yeah, your werewolf impression is good. It's just not as good as Mr. Henderson's, your stupid, cool, annoying teacher who drives a Lambretta and says the word sick. You add, I hope your impression gets better than Mr. Henderson's as well, actually, though. And I say, oh, it will, boy. It will. And it has, actually. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. For the rest of the day, I let you do what you want. You have 2 chocolate croissants for your breakfast and a bag of Snobby's nuts and a Coke in the pub you like with the playground. And you climb, and you climb, and you climb, and I sit staring into space. We'll get takeaway tonight, and I hope I can guess what you want before you tell me, and I hope I get it right. I hope he wants to sleep in the bed with me like last time. He's so small, and I can't stand the thought of him being alone. I watch you struggle on a set of monkey bars, and want to help you, but I know I mustn't, so I sit. Hoping you like The Clash. Hoping you like meat and beer. Hoping you like me. Thank you.
the Will Gibson Band having a little late night chill after last night's prom, and young jazzers from the conservatories and young poets. Great to see it. Once a week here after the main prom. The next one will be on Friday. Don't forget, of course, there's Radio 3, home of the proms. During the proms, you can do a podcast from Breakfast, from In Tune, from Composer of the Week, from Classical Collection, and there's Proms Online Interactive, so it's worth checking it all out because there's really an extraordinary amount going on. Well, welcome back to the Royal Albert Hall for the final two acts, the denouement of Rossini's unexpected in places and absolutely thrilling final opera, William Tell. So we're in the Swiss cantons, a nice sort of deliciously simple revolution. Arnold, who's joined the revolutionary forces, and his Princess Mathilde kneel in Rouen Chapel, but with his father killed and revolt on the way, they realise their love really is impossible. Then we move to the main square in Altdorf, where the Austrians are celebrating 100 years of their rule. The governor, Gessler, wants the people to bow to his hat as a symbol of imperial authority. William Tell refuses. Then he and his son Jemmy are brought before him. Tell is recognised as the man who helped the huntsman Leutold escape, and the price of his freedom, to shoot an apple off his son's head. And Tell does it, of course, and spectacularly. But an extra bow for his crossbone is found, and that means that was for Gessler if he missed. So he's dragged away in chains. Princess Matilda manages to appear and demand the boy. Mayhem ensues, and the soldiers turn on the people. Well, in Act 4, Arnold and the Swiss Confederates arm themselves and leave for battle. Meanwhile, as the storm gathers on Lake Lucerne, news comes that Tell has broken his fetters, and he comes back in the boat that took him to captivity. He's reunited with his wife Hedwiga and his son, who's been kept safe by Matilda, and who now joins the Swiss in the fight for liberty. The hated Gessler appears on a rock, and using his father's crossbow, Tell kills him, and he plunges into the lake. A burning house signals the start of revolution. Arnold appears. He's already taken the city of Altdorf. And as the opera ends, the storm passes, the landscape and the music released in all its glory. On the lake, boats are there with their flags. Great glaciers gleam with light, and all praise land and liberty. Well, this is quite a final denouement. Sarah Lenton is with me here in the box. Actually, we haven't met the baddie yet, Gessler, have we?
He bides his time. This is such a long opera that Rossini can take his time as to when people turn up. So the heroine doesn't turn up till halfway through, and the villain comes on to set up that famous test and be killed. The important thing is to get Gessler killed.
Yeah.
So he just turns up for the last act, put his hat on the pole, sort out the apple, and get killed.
The apple, of course, is what everyone knows about William Tell is, yes, the apple. And here's the apple of everyone's eye tonight, and Tindra Papano coming back to bring us the last two acts, Act 3 and 4 of Rossini's final and glorious opera, William Tell, live from the Royal Albert Hall at the Academy of St. Cecilia in Rome.
Pour vos gémeaux pères. j'espère. Je renonce aux faveurs du sort, je renonce à tout ce que j'aime, à la gloire, à vous-même, à moi, Melthal. Mon père est mort, il est tombé sur l'homicide glaive. Votre froid l'a nommé Gessler, Gessler. Notre amour et d'espérance, comme un père commence. Notre amour et d'espérance, comme un père commence.
Oh! Thank you. noblesse, avilir ce peuple. Mais moi, je ne reconnais point la loi qui m'est prescrite une bassesse.
Gouverneur, oh brave ta loi!
Quel est l'audacieux!
J'ai su le reconnaître. C'est Guillaume Tell, c'est ce traître qui ravit à nos coups le tol de le meurtrier.
Saisissez-le! Saisissez-le!
Thank you. lâché par tout autre homme. Sur la tête du fils, on place cette pomme. Tu vas de très certain enlever à mes yeux. Oh, vous payerez tous les deux.
Quelle idée,
je le veux.
Quel horrible décret. Sur mon fils, je m'égare. Tu pourrais ordonner barbare. Oh, le crime est trop grand.
Au pays.
Oh, tu n'as pas d'enfant. Il est en Dieu, Gessler.
Maître,
il nous entend.
C'est trop tardé, cède sur l'heure.
Je ne le puis.
Que son fils meure.
Abominable loi, du triomphe de ma faiblesse, le péril de Jémie me pose une bassesse. Gessler. Et je fléchis le genou devant toi.
Voilà cet archer redoutable. Voilà cet être qui de nos tonniers. La peur l'atteint. Un mot l'accable.
Ce châtiment du moins est équitable. Tu me punis d'avoir pu m'oublier.
Mon père, songe à ton adresse.
Oh, je crains trop de ma tendresse.
Dorme ta main. Dorme ta main.
Je te bénis en répandant des larmes. Et je reprends ma force sur ton sein. Le calme de ton cœur a raffermi ma main. Plus de faiblesse, plus d'alarme, comme rôde mes soins. Je suis Guillaume Tell, enfin.
Son fils.
Attaché, que le jure. Non, non, livre-moi, je mourrai. J'expose au coffre-vol, ma tête sans murmure. Et sans pâlir, je le
Je regrette ma gare Oh,
m'abandonne point, espoir de la vengeance. Impatience, presse le moment des je n'y rentre
Vengeance! Vengeance!
Ce sont mes compagnons, je les vois accourir.
Oh,
ses rives par la tempête est rejetée. Ses mains cessent d'être captives, le gouvernail cède à sa volonté.
Si Guillaume, malgré l'âge, peut approcher de ce rivage, je n'ai pas de sa liberté.
Brille à mes yeux.
Une femme bûchée d'alarme, moi-même j'ai embrasé le toit de mes aïeux. Aide-moi, je t'ai sauvé des dames.
Est-ce là, tu peux venir?
Orgueilleux,
sarò trove il sose.
Fino a plisa formidere, al cor feta notre pistose.
Ending in a blaze of light and liberty, and in the universal key of C major, the resounding mountain call that stirs the soul of every true Swiss. Switzerland regained from the Austrian conquerors. The end of Rossini's great opera, William Tell. And I can tell you that the Academy and chorus of the Academy of St. Cecilia in Rome, and Antonio Papano, and all the soloists tonight have conquered the hearts of everybody here in the Royal Albert Hall. It's been a magnificent performance, and I think quite a surprise to many of us just what delights and unexpected glories lie in Rossini's last great operatic effort. What can we say? Age 37, he never wrote another thing, but even he knew, I think, he'd gone out himself in a blaze of glory. William Tell was sung tonight by Michaela Petrucci. Hedwig, his wife, is Patricia Barden. Jemmy, the trouser role of their son, was sung by Elena Zampidakis. Marlene Bergström was Princess Matilda, who comes over to the side of right and Swiss glory and gets her man in the end, who is, of course, the high seas. The king of the high seas tonight, John Osborne, Arnold Melchior, the tenor. I think James Joyce said there were 15, and Sarah Lenton said there were. I'm prepared to believe it. His father, Melchior, was Frederick Caton. Matthew Rose was Walter Fürst. Chelsea Albela was Rudi. Leuchtfeld was Mark Stone. Gessler, the bad governor, was Nicolas Courjal. Rodolphe was Carlo Bossi. And the huntsman earlier was Davide Malvestio. The orchestra and chorus of the Academy of St. Cecilia, shining as bright as they did in the days of Palestrina, I think. Antonio Papano and all his cast coming to take another bow here at the Royal Albert Hall. What a wonderful occasion it has been. And here comes the chorus master, Ciro Visco. Sensational light and shade in these ladies and gentlemen from Rome. Really, I think it's knocked us absolutely all sideways. Paolo Maria Carazzoli is the leader, is the concertmaster of the orchestra, who are now rising to their feet as well. Quite a few of them, not absolutely vast forces, nothing like the forces you'll see in the Royal Albert Hall tomorrow night. My goodness, they do inhabit this work and absolutely own it. I think the applause will go on for quite some time. So as we reach the end of this long, but certainly not seemingly long, evening of Rossini's William Tell here at the Royal Albert Hall in London, it's good night from me and back to the studio at Broadcasting House.
Sean Rafferty there at the Royal Albert Hall. Well, in a few minutes' time at 11 o'clock, we join Tom Service for Contemporary Music in Here and Now. Two first performances, Elliot Carter's Conversations and Charlotte Bray's Replay, and another piece by Charlotte Bray called Caught in Treetops. And the programme ends with Robert Saxton's A Yardsticks to the Stars. So, to take us up to Here and Now, here's some music written by Herbert Howells. Music by Herbert Howells, My Lord Sandwich's Dream, played by John McCabe. Now here's Catherine Bott to tell us about another aspect of the proms.
The BBC Proms Chamber Music Series. Over the course of the proms season, from now until the 5th of September, every Monday lunchtime, Radio 3 heads to London's Cadogan Hall for chamber music of all shapes and sizes. A stellar cast of instrumentalists includes Yo-Yo Ma, Christian Tetzlaff, and Les Talents Lyriques. And our season begins with Bach's Goldberg Variations, one of the peaks of the repertoire, performed by harpsichordist Mahan Esfahani. Chamber music at the BBC Proms, live Monday lunchtimes at 1 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
And looking ahead to tomorrow afternoon, our Sunday concert is music by Vaughan Williams and Hamilton, given by the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Andrew Manzi. We'll be hearing Vaughan Williams' Fantasia on a theme by Thomas Tallis and his London Symphony. And that's our Sunday concert from the City Halls in Glasgow, and that starts at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. That's here on BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. It's a minute past 11, time for this week's Here and Now with Tom Service.
The Aldborough and Cheltenham festivals in focus on tonight's Here and Now. Oliver Nussen conducts the Birmingham Contemporary Music Group. The Festival Academy soloists in Cheltenham give us Charlotte Bray and Robert Saxton. Back in Aldborough, there's Ligeti and Nancaro from Pierre-Laurent Aymar and Jürgen Hocker. First, though, if you've ever heard another world premiere by a 102-year-old composer, you're doing better than me. We're going to start with a new piece by Elliot Carter, born 1908. Called Conversations for solo percussionist, pianist and ensemble. Colin Curry is the percussionist, the Aldborough Festival's artistic director, Pierre-Laurent Aymar is on piano, and the Birmingham Contemporary Music Group are conducted by Oliver Nussen. Dialogue, diversion, discussion, dynamism, and all of it in 6.5 minutes. Enjoy. Thank you. Elliot Carter's Conversations, that world premiere performance from the Birmingham Contemporary Music Group, conducted by Oliver Nusson, the soloists, the Aldborough Festival's artistic director, Pierre-Laurent Aymar on piano and Colin Curry on percussion. Well, next on tonight's Here and Now, two pieces by Charlotte Bray, one from the same concert at the Snake Maltings Concert Hall and another from the Cheltenham Festival. Charlotte's with me now. Look, Charlotte, the first piece we're going to hear is Caught in Treetops, a piece you wrote last year, a violin concerto. But how important is this piece for you in your composing career?
It's perhaps hard to say at this time, actually, but I think it is. It's a very important piece to me at the moment. It came about as a result of my residency with Birmingham Contemporary Music Group. I spent a year with the group from 2009 to 2010. I studied in Birmingham before that, so I knew quite a few of the players, but it was really fantastic to get heavily involved in the group.
It's kind of an amazing story, your journey as a composer. I mean, you're not 30 yet, and you only started composing really about 7 years ago. What happened, and what were you doing before?
I went to study in Birmingham in 2001 as a cellist. I was enjoying studying cello, but I think I always knew that I wasn't a performer at heart, and I happened to compose as part of the musicianship work we had to do there. I lived with the composer at the time, and he noticed that it was quite good, and I realised how much I'd enjoyed composing that. So within a few months, I changed course and studied composition there for 3 years, mainly with Joe Cutler. And then in 2006, I went to study with Mark Anthony Turnage at the Royal College of Music.
That's a pretty amazing thing. I mean, now with commissions like this from the Birmingham Contemporary Music Group and the soloist Alexandra Woods, I mean, it's a fairly sort of meteoric rise you've had, Charlotte.
Yes.
I mean, how have you navigated yourself as a composer? Have you had to say, you know, I'm this kind of composer, I'm not like Carter, say, I'm more like Ligeti or whatever it is. How have you navigated yourself as a composer?
I think it's been quite organic throughout the process. It's been a really exciting journey, and I feel very grateful that I've met so many fantastic performers and ensembles that I've been able to work with. And through studying at the Royal College, I went on the Britain Peers course and there met Oliver Nusson and Colin Matthews.
At Aldborough, of course.
At Aldborough, exactly, yeah. So Aldborough really, I feel like it really stems from the heart of my career in a way.
So Caught in Treetops then, a violin concerto, a single movement, about 17 minutes, but a poetic title and poetic inspiration as well, Charlotte. Where does the piece, what's the idea that the piece comes from?
Actually, Birmingham Contemporary Music Group commissioned a solo violin piece to go in one of their family's concerts last April. So I wrote that for Alexandra, and the ensemble actually improvised around it, which was a really interesting process. From that, the concerto grew out. So I had a chance to work with the musicians in quite an abstract way in the improvisation solo piece, and then form my concerto from that. It's not something I've done before, but it's been a really interesting process.
And in fact, the piece opens with an improvisatory sounding violin solo from Alexandra Wood.
Yeah. When you have a soloist on stage, I just see it as an exciting opportunity just to start with the soloist and throw them and the audience in the deep end, really. And the inspiration for that opening actually came from a piece called Autumn Nocturne by Sonny Rollins. And in this, I think it's a 5-minute improvisation, 3 minutes of it at the beginning of Sonny Rollins just going absolutely wild on the saxophone.
Yeah.
And then the ensemble comes in. And when I first heard this, it had such an impact that the ensemble didn't come in for so long. And I just wanted to try that, I guess. I should say, poetry is always important to me as a composer. And even if I'm not setting poetry for a song cycle, it seems to often find a way into the initial inspiration for the piece as well.
And so here, I mean, Caught in Treetops is Rossetti, is that right?
That's right, yeah. Actually, there's two poems. There's the Rossetti, which has a lot of energy and a real playful atmosphere to it, and that's what I took for the first movement of the piece. The second movement is really inspired by a poem by Lorca called The Moon Sails Out, and that has a much more tranquil and quite sombre mood to it.
Well, Charlotte, then let's hear Caught in Treetops, the Birmingham Contemporary Music Group at the Snake Maltings Concert, part of this year's Aldborough Festival, conducted by Oliver Nusson. The violin soloist, who you hear right now, is Alexandra Wood.